Welcome to episode 330 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
You can't make me visit thelabwithbrad.com.
I can't make anybody visit. It's a necessity. Yeah, that's an issue.
Hello.
We're talking about Callisto today.
Yes.
Which has been called by someone other than me, the dullest object in the solar system.
I mean, it's there.
It is the second largest of Jupiter's moons.
There you go. Okay.
It is the third largest moon in the solar system.
Okay.
That we know of.
Claims to fame.
Yes. Our moon, by the way, is the sixth largest.
Oh.
Coming in just after Io.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. We got a good sized moon.
Huh.
And we're such a small planet compared to, I don't know, Jupiter.
Yeah, right. Holy crap.
Callisto's surface. The factoid I keep hearing is that it is the most heavily cratered body in the solar system.
Cratered?
Yes.
Okay.
It is heavily cratered to the point where usually if a new crater happens, it is erasing old craters. That's most of its landscape is intersecting craters.
It's a very depressed teenage moon.
It does have one big impact basin called Valhalla.
Oh, nice name.
About 3,800 kilometers across.
Okay.
And it's got concentric rings suggesting that whenever it was impacted, there was something kind of liquid under there.
Ooh. See, all this sounds interesting to me.
It's got a very tenuous CO2 atmosphere, carbon dioxide.
Cool.
And it's made of about 60% rock and the rest is ice.
Okay, boring. Okay.
Mostly water ice. There's also CO2 ice or carbon dioxide ice and ammonia. Yeah, I told you. It's
not... Okay, yeah. I see now.
Callisto is actually 99% the diameter of Mercury.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
just a little bit shorter.
Okay.
But it's only one-third the mass. So Callisto orbits much further out than even the next one in, which is Ganymede. It's out past 1 million miles away from Jupiter.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yes. In comparison, our moon is about 238,000 miles away from us.
Oh, okay.
So much further away, but it finishes its orbit in 16 and a half days.
Wow. Just
a little bit more.
Around Jupiter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, Jupiter's a bigger planet.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go faster. Just not hit it.
Disappear in the gaseous mess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
The Galileo spacecraft discovered an induced magnetic field.
Okay.
Suggesting that underneath that really boring surface might be a liquid ocean.
Okay. Wait. Is this the one? I thought that was a different moon.
Yes, I know the one you're thinking of, and we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I'm a terrible person. Okay.
It just turns out a lot of the others also might have a...
What is going on Jupiter?
by a lot of the others, I mean two others might also have a subsurface liquid ocean.
That's a lot. I don't know.
Callisto's orbit is such that it probably never got much tidal heating in its entire lifetime, being that much further out. It's still inside of Jupiter's magnetosphere, protected from the solar wind. But unlike the other three, it's outside of Jupiter's radiation belts.
Okay.
So we could theoretically land there
if
we ever wanted a base on one of Jupiter's moons.
This is perfect. Have we done it?
You mean with thingies?
Yeah.
No. People think this moon is boring.
Yeah. Not even the Russians have crashed it.
So that's it for Callisto.
Really?
But fortunately, there's a whole bunch of other stuff in the Jovian system,
which
we talked about on Monday. We
are...
here on a Monday.
Yay.
You can tell by the spacing, the pacing, the spacing.
Pacing.
Yeah, we got some spacey. Pacing. I could start the episode. We were talking about Callisto.
Yes.
Yeah, or will be. But Callisto is kind of boring. So I thought I'd squeeze in a few more moons here.
Okay.
While we got the time.
There's how many for Jupiter?
I think there's 79 known. Okay. At the moment, 23 of which are yet to be named.
And then the dozen or so unknown.
Yeah, well,
Alien spacecrafts. Yeah.
So we've been talking about the big four.
Yes.
Right. Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto.
Thank God you repeated them. Yes. Those ones.
To start from the inside out.
Yeah.
Io is the closest of those four.
Right.
And I've been saying the closest without that qualifier. Which could be confusing because there's another four moons.
Another four. Okay.
Inside the orbit of Io, along with the rings.
Oh, the rings.
Rings, yes. And actually, you kind of have to talk about them and those four moons at the same time.
Okay.
Because they're sort of interrelated.
Hmm.
I misspoke. I do that from time to time. I said moons when I meant rings. So what I meant to say was, unlike Saturn's rings, Jupiter's rings are composed of small particles of dark dust.
That's not dark matter. Dark dust.
Just dust. Dark colored dust. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, boulder sized chunks of shiny ice.
I see.
Also, much smaller, nowhere near as thick.
Mm-hmm.
Pioneer 11 went through Jupiter in 1975.
Okay.
And it was looking at the radiation belts.
Yeah.
And I guess something they saw were making people think, oh, there might be rings around Jupiter.
Okay.
So that's our first hint.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know for certain until the Voyager probes, 1 and 2, went scooting through in 1979. Voyager 1 managed to get one overexposed picture of the rings.
It takes that. Okay.
But Voyager 2 got much better pictures.
Okay.
And by the time we get the Galileo probe from 1995 to 2003, we get some pretty decent images.
Okay.
There are four parts to the rings.
Okay.
There's a very thick sort of donut-shaped thingy called the halo.
Okay.
That's the innermost part. Then there's a very thin, sort of like 30 kilometers thick main ring,
okay,
which is the shiniest,
uh-huh,
which is not really to say it's shiny.
No, I mean, I've never seen. Okay, anyways.
And then there's two gossamer rings.
What?
Actually named after the moons that they're next to.
Okay.
Which is a Malthian and Thebes.
I have a mouth.
Yeah. Also, I'm making no promises as to how well I'm pronouncing these things. Okay. It's all Greek to me. Yes. Moon first, closest to Jupiter.
Okay.
That we know of. Metis.
Metis. All right.
Adrastia.
Oh, okay.
Is the second by distance.
Okay.
It is, however, the smallest moon.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5 miles through.
What?
About 8 kilometers. That's like the long dimension. None of these are circular.
Oh, okay.
Adrastia was the first moon ever discovered by an interplanetary spacecraft.
Oh, neat.
Voyager 2.
Cool.
Rather than a telescope.
Aha.
The next few were discovered by pictures from Voyager 1, which went through sooner, but I guess it took longer to look at the pictures or something.
They're just like, nah, that can't be a moon.
Amalthea.
Ooh, okay. That
is the third moon by distance.
Mm-hmm.
It is the next largest after the big four.
Oh, okay.
And the last one to be discovered by someone actually putting their physical eye to the eyepiece of a telescope.
Ooh.
There's other tricks you can do involving photography.
All right.
That's the big one, actually. You take a picture of some reference stars and look for the dot that moves.
Okay.
Thebes. T-H-E-B-E.
Thebes.
I keep putting an S on the end, and I don't know why.
Is that a city? Hey, who cares? Yeah. Anyways, Thebes.
Yeah.
Greek to me.
Fourth by distance.
Okay.
The inner two-most?
Mm-hmm.
They are orbiting inside the main ring.
Okay.
The shiny one.
Yeah.
The gossamer rings.
Mm-hmm.
Again, both of those moons that they are named after orbit inside of them.
Okay.
The innermost one sort of overlaps with the outermost one. In fact, they used to call that one ring.
Okay.
But then, you know, more pictures and more staring at it. Going, that's two.
Pluto's not a planet. What are you talking about? These guys. Anyways, yeah.
It's made out of dust.
Okay.
But for various reasons, including interacting with Jupiter's magnetic field and a weird effect with solar radiation,
right,
the dust goes away. In fact, they figure the average lifetime of a particle in the rings is between 100 and 1,000 years.
Okay.
So for them to still be there, they have to be replenished.
Right. Okay. They're coming from somewhere.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They are coming from the moons.
Aha!
Yes. The moons get thwacked.
Right.
And up flies a plume full of dust. And if you were, like, say, 8 kilometers through, you don't have a lot of gravity to hold on to that dust. So it doesn't take much for it to escape you and start turning into a ring.
Wow. You take my children.
Those 8 moons.
Yes.
The Galilean satellites and the 4 inner satellites. Those are the regular satellites of Jupiter.
Okay.
That means they orbit in a plane close to the same as Jupiter's equator.
Okay.
They all orbit in the same direction that Jupiter spins.
Okay.
And their orbits don't change all that much, and they're not all that eccentric.
Okay.
Still enough to heat them quite a lot. You remember Io and its tendency to explode.
Yeah. I do.
The others are the irregular satellites.
Okay.
And that's the most of them.
Oh.
They can either be orbiting in the same direction as Jupiter or the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
Curiously, there are more of them orbiting in the opposite direction for some reason.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And how are they not? Because there's those other moons.
They're usually pretty far out. They often have highly inclined and highly eccentric orbits, and their orbits keep getting changed by the perturbations from the sun.
Really?
Partially because they go that far out to the point where the sun's gravity is a... beginning to be more important than Jupiter's.
Oh. You were talking about the rings of Jupiter being replenished?
Mm-hmm.
How about the moons? Because I see train wrecks.
That's funny you should mention that. The theory being, back in the day, Jupiter had finished more or less forming, and it still had a disk of leftover stuff around it.
Okay.
And that various moons would form in there and then be slowed down by the dust and go spiraling into Jupiter.
Okay.
And the 8 regular moons are the ones that survived that process.
Oh.
Now, most of that dust is gone, so it's no longer a significant slowing factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things would come whizzing by.
Yeah.
Some of them would hit that disk and be slowed down by it and consequently captured.
Okay.
In strange orbits.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hit each other.
I knew it.
Especially since their orbits change significantly over a period of just centuries.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tendency to hit each other a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The largest irregular satellite around Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
Himmelia. It's all Greek to me. 6th largest moon around Jupiter. I'm not sure how it compares overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 90 miles across.
Okay.
In one of those lumpy dimensions it has. The New Horizons spacecraft.
Right.
Which was using Jupiter as a gravity assist on its mission to Pluto.
Okay.
Took a picture of that moon.
Mm-hmm.
It took many pictures, actually, and they think they might have detected a very faint ring just inside of its orbit.
Really?
They don't know if it goes all the way around or if it's just an arc.
Okay.
And they're not sure how old it is because, well, this moon moves around a lot. It's still by the moon, so it might have happened within a century or so.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they'd lost track of a moon, and they thought maybe that one hit this one. But they found it again.
Oh, God. There it is. Oh, this is neat.
Here's a quick correction. I was talking about the Galileo mission, and I was saying that it finished in 2006. It actually finished in 2003, and the ring was not observed then, but the New Horizons mission, when it flew by Jupiter, saw it in 2010. So when the ring was first photographed, it may have been less than 7 years old.
Yes! We saw something! All right.
Anyway, we've talked about almost all the moons
mm-hmm.
with varying degrees of detail.
Yes,
but
yes,
we've
indeed.
Still got 2 left.
Oh.
But we're going to talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.